just to give the background, when the gospel began to be spread, it first spread to Jews. Then Peter received a vision, and he goes to Cornelius and begins to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, and the Spirit of God comes upon Gentiles just as it did in Jews, and we see the development of the activity of the Spirit of God in men, in the Jews as well as the Gentiles. Well, this was a tremendous cultural mind shift, a cultural shakeup for the mindset of the Jew. That now, that Gentiles would be experiencing the grace of God in the same way that Jews were. And Peter fully embraced it. He learned from the vision. He went to Cornelius. He saw the work of God. Many of them saw the work of God. But then there were those who were suspect and questioned how this could be. In their pride of position, thought that everyone needed to come under the line of the Jewish traditions. And it came to the point where those who were of that mindset came, and Peter, of all people, he sort of distanced himself from his Gentile brother. He stopped eating with them. Heard one guy speaking on this says, you know, Peter's, you know, moving away from them, but he's still got a taste of pork on his breath. But the idea is that Peter, who knew the grace of God and how it had worked amongst the nations, the Gentiles, all of a sudden, in a hypocritical fashion, distanced himself from those same Gentiles because there were those who came from Jerusalem who had a different point of view and perspective of how they thought the work of grace was to be accomplished in Gentiles. They thought that those who were converted and other Gentiles needed to come on the line of Jewish traditions. And so this was a conflict. This was an issue that Paul said, this is just wrong. And not only is it wrong, but not only was Peter wrong, but a lot of people started to follow Peter's lead. And in following Peter's lead, Paul said, I've got to address this. So here is the case of conflict in which something is clearly wrong. How do you approach it? And what's the goal? What's the end? Now, Paul could have said, you know what? Peter's a hypocrite. And he does say Peter is a hypocrite. But he says it with the view that Peter might be restored, that Peter might be corrected, that Peter might be adjusted, that everyone that was affected by the situation might be adjusted. Sometimes what we do is we see that someone's wrong, and then we just go broadcast it all over the place that so-and-so is wrong and say, don't go there, don't do what they're doing because that so-and-so is such a so-and-so. The biblical method is, what is the great gain? And what we have in the end of this reading that we have is, Paul brings out the doctrine that substantiates why the behavior was so wrong. And that's so important. When there's a conflict over a practice or a principle, what is important is that the gain of what God intends for us in the principle takes paramount, more than just that I'm proving you wrong or I just want to make you look bad. Paul says he withstood Peter face to face. One of the common themes that we're seeing through this matter of dealing with conflict is the word confrontation. And it's not a comfortable word, right? It's not a comfortable word. We have to confront. We have to face it. Paul says, I withstood Peter face to face. Now, Peter had one of two reactions, right? Peter could have said, this is the way it is. Or Peter could be like the wise man in Proverbs who responds to reproof. You see why the flesh is so critical in understanding how conflict resolution. Peter can react in the flesh because of pride. You know, I don't want to be telling me what I'm doing wrong, right? How many like somebody to tell me that I'm doing wrong? Yeah, I don't think so. Right? We don't like to be told that we're doing wrong. But what is the attitude that I take if someone confronts me because I've done wrong, or I've held a wrong idea, hold a wrong practice, I've done something wrong, and they show me from the Word of God where that pathway is gone? My response as a person who sits under reproof is to realize that the greater goal is the glory of God, honoring the Lord Jesus, and we find that Peter and all of those brethren really submitted to the instruction and the rebuke of Paul so that they can move on beyond this point.
So the basis here for the correction was the truth of the Word of God.
Absolutely. But not as a hammer.
Although, I don't think this was done privately.
This was done publicly. And the point that... It's a good point. The reason why it was done publicly is because the offense was public. Right? Sometimes we need to do things in private. If it's just a private offense, that's what we looked at in Matthew 18. But if it's a public offense, Paul had to address it publicly so that everyone could be in the game of the doctrine of justification that eradicates this matter of trying to be follow Jewish traditions.
I think there's a key word. You've mentioned it several times, and it's right here in the scripture. I withstood him face to face. I think that is really important in our for us today. It's so easy for us to hide behind the telephone, to hide behind email or text message. You know, I don't do text, okay? I don't even know how. But one of the things that somebody was doing text, and they said that person was mad at them. I said, well, how do you know that from a text message? Well, everything was in capitalized letters. I said, you got to be kidding me. Well, in the same way, yeah, they were shouting at him. Well, you know, we can hide behind these things. We laugh about them, but we can hide behind them. And we will say things on email or in a text message or over the phone that we would never say eye to eye. And I think that there's a scriptural principle in confrontation that we look each other eye to eye. And Paul did that with Peter. Yes, it was a public offense, so he addresses it publicly. But even in a private offense in Matthew 18, you're supposed to go to the person. You're not supposed to call them up. Of course, they didn't have phones back in those days. But nonetheless, go to them. Talk to them. Sit down with them. Pray with them. And, you know, half the problem is we don't communicate. We assume.
And a lot of times we might communicate in that way via email or via phone to almost protect ourselves. So it's like I can write this email, send it to you, and send the bomb. It blows up, and I don't have to be around for the fallout. You know, taking the initiative to address it face to face takes a certain degree of risk and courage, right? Because there's the relationship, the closeness of the relationship that you're risking. There's a lot of other things that can come, potential division. So there is a certain degree of courage that it takes to face to face. Honestly and openly and forcefully address the issue. But as we said before, you know, there's always a tendency to either blow up on the one end or to sweep it under the rug on the other.
I remember in the early days of email, for me, I remember a brother sent me an email, and it wasn't a nice one. And I sent him back an email, and it wasn't a nice one. And I thought I sent it to the PB group instead of him. And I said, oh my word, you got to be kidding me. And I got on the phone and I called the people in charge of PB group and I said, you got to stop this email. Well, it never went through. And I learned a very powerful lesson. If I can't say it face to face, I won't say it at all. And I challenge us with that. If we can't look a brother in the eye and say it face to face, don't say it at all.
Or sometimes what you need to do is wait a little while, wait a few hours, wait a day before you respond.
Amen.
I have a question.
Or you write that email, but you don't send it out.
You write it up, and then as soon as you're done, you hit the X at the top of the screen to shut it all down so you know nothing.
You know what? Don't write it. Just pray. You know what you need. Pray for the brother. Sorry, go ahead.
I have a question. Is it that it was a public offense, or is it that others were influenced by what Peter was doing? the reason why they corrected, why it was corrected in public.
On top of that, do you think the Galatians were affected? Because otherwise I don't see a reason why they're being written down, unless the Galatians were an assembly that was affected by this.
I would say, as far as why it was a public correction, I think both are in view here. Both of those things that you said happened. Peter did this publicly, and in verse 13, especially, we see how widespread it was. If you have the King James, it says dissimulation is just the word hypocrisy that we've been speaking about. And this hypocrisy became public also, and it was essentially a public denial of the principle of God's word, principle of the gospel that was mentioned earlier. So I think that it's both of those things, that Peter had done this publicly, others saw it, and others were affected. And I think, as you said, Matt, I don't know if the Galatians were directly affected by this incident.
Chapter 3, verse 1.
They may or may not have known this, but they were in danger of the same problem. And so I think he's using this as an illustration of how concerned Paul is. Why am I so concerned? I'll show you how concerned I am. I had to deal with this once before, you know, individually, and now I'm writing to you, Galatians, because this is very serious among you as well.